Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, excuse me, while I take a sip of beer. Just kidding, it's water. Go to about any bar in New York City, you're bound to find one local bit of pride on tap, a green cursive B that stands for the one, the only, Brooklyn Brewery. The once-fledgling startup has flourished on a steady diet of hops, malted grains, and municipal support for small business entrepreneurs. But recently, the operation has hit some roadblocks. The owners are looking to expand, but finding their very namesake might just be crowding them out. Brooklyn Brewery co-founder Steve Hindy recently wrote about this in an op-ed for the Center for an Urban Future. And Adam Friedman is executive director of the New York Industrial Retention Network. His organization aims to ensure light manufacturing has a future for years to come in New York City. Adam Friedman and Steve Hindy, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Steve, tell us about your early years when you were setting up shop. What was it like, and what were the major challenges then?
Well, we started in business 20 years ago, and our first location was in the middle of Bushwick. And it was kind of scary. Crime was high at that time. Truck drivers would not come into the site after dark. And, you know, we had a holdup at one point. It was a very different New York City back then. And we worked really hard to establish our brand in the city. I mean, we made the beer, we drove the trucks, we delivered the beer, we collected the money. It wasn't easy.
Now, what made you pick beer?
Well, that's sort of a long story. I'll try to make it short. I used to be a journalist for about...
You see?
Yes, right, for about 15 years. And I worked in the Middle East for Associated Press. And I met American diplomats who worked in Saudi Arabia, where they have Islamic law. You can't buy alcoholic beverages. These guys all made their own beer at home. And I got into making my own beer, and I came back to New York and started a brewery.
Now, you've been doing this for 20 years. Again, it's been pretty successful. And so?
Well, about 4 years ago, we started looking for a site to expand the brewery. I should explain, we do 20% of our brewing in New York City. We do the more high-end, expensive beers. The rest of the production is done in upstate New York. And the high end of our range has been selling better and better. So about 4 years ago, we were looking for space to expand the brewery. And that began an odyssey that has lasted almost 5 years now, trying to find new space to expand the brewery.
Adam Friedman, your organization has been trying to address just this issue, small manufacturing in New York. What are the challenges?
Well, what's one of the things that Steve is confronting is the shortage of stable, affordable space. You know, and Steve's story is both unique, but it's true of hundreds of manufacturers who we meet all the time who have a vision, you know, and are driving the growth of a company, and they need to find space to keep growing. So that's one of the primary challenges. And second, New York is just a high-cost environment. That goes without saying. And Steve's strategy of focusing on the high end of his products is really very typical of New York City manufacturers. The companies that have left were the big companies that produced very low-end standardized products, like Farberware produced pots and pans in the Bronx, and Swingline produced staplers in Queens. Well, you know, they didn't need to be in a high-cost environment like New York City. You know, they didn't need to be so close to their market. But what's left in New York are very high-end manufacturers who have a niche, for whom proximity to market, to be near the design talent, and the very highly skilled workforce that's in New York is essential to their business strategy and their survival.
Now, Steve, you're not in Bushwick anymore, right? You're in Williamsburg?
Yes. We moved to Williamsburg about 18 years ago.
Okay, so 18 years ago, Williamsburg was a haven for hipsters and bands and... No, not really. It was different,
no,
right?
No, not 18 years ago. 18 years ago, we were able to find industrial space at about $3 a foot. Today, you're looking at like $18-$20 a foot. It's a whole different ballgame.
Adam Friedman, I remember when the city was looking to rezone Greenpoint in Williamsburg, you're raising the point that the rezoning would create just this kind of problem. Is that what's going on here? Is this an effect of that, or is this more long-term trends?
Both. It is a long-term trend. Every industrial area in the city, the vacancy rate has gone down. In general, the vacancy rate in every industrial area is well under 5%. You know, the Brooklyn Navy Yard is full. A lot of areas say that their vacancy rate is really about 3%. And that's both the result of zoning changes, and it's also the result of, companies that have done well. And they want to keep growing in New York City, and they just can't find space at this point.
So what's the solution?
It's complicated because the city has a tremendous planning challenge, right? On the one hand, it anticipates a million new residents. Well, everyone needs some place to live, but they also need some place to work. So the challenge that we face is how do we increase the density of uses in New York City, but at the same time, sort of preserve the diversity that attracted Steve and that helped launch Steve in the first place. You know, the community that he was in had to be one of the most creative communities in the United States. And that creativity, that energy, that vitality really came from the diversity of the community, I would argue. And so the challenge we face is how do you preserve diversity, but at the same time, keep New York City growing.
My guests are Adam Friedman, the executive director of the New York Industrial Retention Network, and Steve Hindy, who is the co-founder of the Brooklyn Brewery. We're talking about light manufacturing in New York. By the way, a little later on this hour, we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton, who last night was the guest of honor at a party at Gracie Mansion, thrown by Mayor Bloomberg. And at that event, she said she is now open for business. So we'd like you to tell us what business you'd like her to attend to. You can do that online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer, or you can call us at 646-778-3729, 646-SPUD-RAY, or if you like, you can talk to us about beer or manufacturing in your neighborhood. Now, Steve, you are a beer man, if you will, but it sounds like in the course of your trying to find space, you've become something of an expert on like manufacturing and zoning yourself.
Well, you know, after I wrote the piece for the Center for an Urban Future, I got calls from Steve Eisenstadt, whose family owns Sweet and Low, and Mark Agger, who has Peerless Fish, both of them partly in the Navy Yard, Matthew Reich from Tomcat Bakery in Long Island City, and they said, hurrah, you know, this is a problem we're all facing, and we're really glad that you raised it. I also met some other people who have moved out of New York City. Chalbella Gelato moved to New Jersey a few years ago, a great New York City-based product. And also a company that makes replicas of rifles that used to be in the Gowanus area moved to Bayonne a couple of years ago. The owner called me and said, you know, I really would have loved to stay in Brooklyn. We're about 100 employees, but we had no choice.
Adam Friedman, you were talking about the city's zoning challenges, and certainly this administration has shown a predilection towards creating housing and services, perhaps a little bit over manufacturing, but at least it's an administration that thinks about planning. And I'm wondering where you sort of rank the Bloomberg administration on this issue and sort of where you think the city's going to go next.
Well, look. This administration has taken some very, very important steps. First of all, it released the first industrial policy that the city has had in well over 20 years, and it created industrial business zones, which were intended to be areas that would be preserved for industrial growth, for the kind of job creation activities that Steve is a great example of. Now, that was important because what they speak to is stability. If you're a business owner and you need to invest in a piece of equipment or you need to train your staff or you need to renovate your building, you want to know that you can stay there for a long period of time, that that investment can be paid off. And so you need a certain type of real estate stability. So the mayor's industrial business zones were intended to do that. Now, at this point in time, they reflect a policy commitment by the administration. At some point, the administration is going to change. And so we'd like to see that policy commitment embedded in zoning so that it has greater longevity, so companies can reasonably invest in their growth and know that that investment will be paid off over time.
So what neighborhoods are you looking towards?
Excuse me?
What neighborhoods could that happen in?
The city has already defined where the industrial business zones are. So East Williamsburg, Sunset Park, Hunts Point, Maspeth. There's a number of these industrial parks around the city. They're all doing well in that the vacancy rates are relatively low. The issue is whether or not that building stock can be preserved for these job-intensive uses. So we'd like to see those areas, even though it's called an industrial business zone, that's not zoning. That's no different from any other manufacturing zone, which permits a whole variety of uses, from superstores to offices to hotels. So what the city really needs to do is focus the uses in those areas for industrial purposes. And that's going to take a different type of zoning that does not now exist.
Steve Hindy, would that help you out?
Yeah, Adam's exactly right. I'm in an industrial business zone in Williamsburg. But that zone also allows other uses. For instance, right next to me, a bowling alley and performance space is going in. Across the street, there's a boutique hotel that's been proposed. Across the other street is Beacon's Closet, a high-end used clothing store. These are businesses with substantial margins that can afford to pay $15 to $20 a foot. It's tough to brew beer on land costing $15 to $20 a foot.
Let's take a caller, Bob from Valley Stream. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah. I was just curious, other than the sentimental value of being in Brooklyn, because your business is called Brooklyn Brewery, how would it hurt? Would it really hurt the business if you moved up to Albany or something like that? And what's the true benefit of being in Brooklyn?
Well, that's a good question. You know, after I wrote the article, I got calls from Connecticut, from upstate New York, from Nassau County, from the Bronx, from Queens, from New Jersey. Industrial business groups asking me to locate there. I want to be in Brooklyn. I want to be in New York City because I get a lot of visitors from all over the world being in New York City. And the one thing advantage I have over Heineken and Budweiser and the big guys is I have a brewery that people can come and see in New York City. And that's a very important advantage for me.
And can I just reflect on something?
Sure.
The policy implications of what Steve just said, there's 230,000 people in New York City who have a blue-collar job, who have an industrial job. Those jobs pay, on average, well over $48,000. So these are very high-quality jobs. So as a matter of policy, the city wants to keep those blue-collar jobs here.
It's interesting because I think sometimes it's hard to realize that, and I think there are probably people who have small factories and light manufacturing in their neighborhood who don't even know it. Some of these businesses are sort of so small or unobtrusive. Now, is your goal to just sort of keep that 260,000, 240,000?
230,000.
230. Oh, see, I've already inflated it. Is it your goal to keep that number, or is it your goal to grow it?
Well, of course we'd like to see growth because the city needs more jobs. You know, just like the city needs more housing and more schools and more open space, it also needs more jobs, and that's the difficult balancing act. But Steve is part of something that's going on, which, you know, there is this kind of rejuvenation of light manufacturing in the city, and it's occurring for a variety of reasons. Steve is part of the food sector. People want to buy more locally grown, locally produced food. For a whole variety of reasons that are not just sentimental, but have to do with food safety, food preparation, reducing the energy used in transportation. And that leads to green manufacturing, which is a sector that's flourishing in the city. Companies that are producing environmentally responsible products, that have adopted environmentally responsible business practices. And that sector is doing very well in New York. So we think there are real growth opportunities.
We have a couple of comments from our website, Brian Lehrer page on WNYC.org. First one, Steve, why can't you move into the Navy Yards? It seems like a perfect fit.
Well, the Navy Yards is one of the locations we're looking at. EDC, since I wrote the article...
That's the City Economic Development Corporation.
Yes. EDC has showed me several possible locations in the Red Hook area and Sunset Park. So I'm pretty optimistic. I think we're going to find a new location, but stay tuned. I've been working on this for 5 years.
Now, what about the Navy Yards, Adam Friedman? How competitive is it to get in there?
There is no vacant space at the Navy Yard. There's 3.5 million square feet of space, and they're building more. They have a very ambitious building campaign. I think it's another million square feet. But to put that in perspective, since 2001, the city has rezoned over 19 million square feet of industrial space, and there's another 12 million in the pipeline to be rezoned. So I think the Navy Yard is great. I'm on their board of directors. They're doing a fantastic job, but it's not adequate at this point to compensate for all the rezoning changes that have occurred.
We have a call also. What about Willets Point, Queens? Is that considered industrial use?
Well, yeah, it is, but I want to be in Brooklyn.
Adam, what about Willets Point? I mean, I know that they're sort of cleaning out that area of the auto body part shops that are there, but is that a potential industrial area?
I don't know whether the future of Willets Point is going to be industrial. But what it does raise is that the city needs areas like Willets Point. Someplace in the city, you got to get your car repaired. You know, there's a basic infrastructure needs that the city has. And the question is, are we now starting to bump against that? You know, have we now done so much rezoning that we're undermining our capacity to keep the city going?
I want to throw out our phone number once again, remind people later this hour we'll be talking about what you'd like Hillary Clinton to do. Now she says she's back in business in New York. 646-778-3729 is the phone number, 646-SPUD-RAY. You can also comment on our website, the Brian Lehrer page at WNYC.org. Now, is it possible, Steve, that the Brooklyn Brewery helped create the change that made it so difficult for you to find a place?
Absolutely. I think that's a great irony here. You know, I was involved in the rezoning in Williamsburg. We hosted some of the meetings at the brewery, and I was a supporter of it, too, because the waterfront in Williamsburg had been basically a waste for about 40 years. And there were repeated proposals that it would have been very bad for the neighborhood. Mayor Giuliani proposed a garbage transfer station, and there was a giant a proposal for a giant power plant that the community fought against both of those plans and won. But the community needed a positive answer. What do you want to do with the waterfront if you don't want to have a power plant? And that was the driving force of the rezoning. What I didn't foresee was the industrial business zones allowing hotels and, you know, Whole Foods and retail kind of operations that really raised the stakes.
To what extent is that a threat, Adam Friedman, the sort of big box stores and Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and the Targets and the IKEAs that want to move in and also have their reasons for wanting to be close to the New York City market?
Well, that's a tremendous threat. They can pay far more in land cost than a manufacturer can pay. At the same time, let's just compare the wages that they pay. As I said earlier, the typical production wage is about $48,000. I think the typical wage in retailing is $10,000 lower than that. So it may be that you can create some jobs in retailing, but if you're a working person, that's a strategy for downward mobility. That shift from manufacturing to retailing is not something you want to experience. The wages are just not as good, but they can pay more for land cost. So that's another policy reason that the city needs to step in and protect these industrial zones.
Steve, you mentioned in your piece that when it comes down to it, you're still an optimist. So what's keeping you optimistic?
Well, we've looked at several sites in Brooklyn over the last few weeks, and I believe we're going to find a new home. And you know, we'll be investing probably $15 to $20 million to build our new brewery, And we'll be doubling or tripling the number of jobs that we have in Brooklyn. So I think it's going to be a great thing for the city. And I know it's going to be a great thing for Brooklyn Brewery. And, you know, you got to be an optimist if you're in business.
Let's take a couple more calls. Rodney from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Oh, hey, how are you? I have a question. We own a large industrial parcel in an area called Flatlands, and I'm just curious if you guys had any comment about that area in Brooklyn.
Adam, do you want to take that?
Well, yeah, no, I heard that. I'd like to meet you. You know, we'd like to work with you and see if we can find some users for it. I mean, the challenge is probably it's further out, and you can sort of draw these concentric circles coming out from Manhattan about the attractiveness of space, you know, that manufacturers are looking for. The closer to Manhattan, you know, the proximity to their market is all important. But every area of the city is important. And I think to the credit of this administration, you know, what they've recognized is that every community has to have jobs, has to have a good infrastructure, has to have basic services so that every community is attractive to business.
Rodney, thanks for your call. And if you want to meet Adam, I'll be a little super connector here. You can find him at the New York Industrial Retention Network, NYIRN.org. Maybe you guys can talk, and we can check in with you in a little while down the pike and see if maybe any light manufacturing has gone in on your property in the Flatlands. And what about the economy? Is the sort of housing, mortgage, foreclosure situation, I mean, is that sort of, is there a silver lining there for you, or some of these areas where people were ready to build housing, maybe they're going to take another look at industrial areas?
I certainly wouldn't label or even try to put a silver lining on that in any way, shape, or form, but you should recognize that's temporary. And at some point, those markets are going to come back just as strong. And so we need to sort of use this interim period to put the right programs in place so that when the housing market does revive, you can have industrial areas that are still relatively nearby. You know, all the industrial areas of the city are very high walk-to-work communities. People still, in industrial businesses, and maybe Steve can talk about his workforce, people still walk to work, you know, for blue-collar jobs.
We need to wrap up, but Steve, is that true? You have people walking to your job?
It is true. A lot of our employees walk to work. I'd say 90% take public transportation, and a lot of us ride our bikes.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Adam Friedman, Executive Director of the New York Industrial Retention Network, and Steve Hindy, co-founder of Brooklyn Brewery. Let us know how it goes, and maybe we can all go out for an off-air beer.
Thanks.
Thanks very much. When we come back, don't forget your thoughts about what you'd like Hillary Clinton to do now she's back in business. 646-778-3729, 646-SPUD-RAY. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. We'll talk about the Hillary Clinton Party after this.